proceed to the fourth case in the morning. This is United States versus Sergio Zuniga Lazaro. Mr. Schiller.
Good morning, Your Honor. It's Brendan Schiller for the appellant, Sergio Zuniga Lazaro. May it please the court, it's a very brief fact. He pled guilty and was in fact guilty to illegal reentry into the country at following a felony conviction. We raised three sentencing issues. I really just want to dwell on one, which is the question of, we know that there was at least some mistakes made in terms of the criminal history category. Now, it didn't change the actual category, so therefore it didn't change the sentencing range. The question is, though, since he was sentenced at the very highest end of the range, the fact that these mistakes were made, did that impact what his actual sentence would have been? And therefore, did it violate his due process rights? We know that his criminal sentence point should have been 4, not 6. We know that 6 is at the high end of Category 3. We know 4 is at the low end. We know that the court seemed to think that since it was at 6 and since there was these other couple of outstanding issues, it really could have been maybe 7 or 8 and therefore Category 4.
But let me ask you this. Suppose the judge had not made the error with respect to the 11-year-old conviction. Is it your understanding that in choosing a range within, in choosing a point within the range that the criminal history category and offense level give him, that the judge is forbidden to think about a history of crime that goes outside those things that contribute to criminal history category? In other words, might the judge have quite legitimately said, I have a particular range that I'm bound by, but I'm going to go at the high end of the range because you have this 11-year-old conviction, you have a 20-year-old conviction, you have other things. I don't know of anything in the guidelines that says the judges can't use that information in picking a point within a range.
No, the judge clearly could have used all the information.
That takes me then to your point. I mean, since you're saying, well, if he hadn't made this mistake, are we sure he would have gone with the 57 months? Why not, since the fact would still have been there?
Well, we don't know, and I guess the point is, it at least seems clear from the record that there was kind of this cursory view of the pre-sentence. And so from a cursory review of it, you get this kind of image, oh, it's 6, but there's these couple other underlying things in the background that may have been higher. Maybe this guy has a real history. When a more thorough review reveals that really the only thing that had occurred in the previous 11 years were two misdemeanor offenses, one in 97, and one in 2001, and one of those offenses, if but for a different sentence, would have been excluded under the sentencing guidelines. When a more thorough review, and so I think the impression that's kind of left from the record and from the combination of this mistake is that the defendant didn't receive the kind of thorough judicial determination that he should have received for sentencing. And it could very well be that it gets remanded, and the judge says, no, I said what I meant. It's 57 months.
But isn't it clear from the sentencing transcript that Judge Shabazz thought that the criminal history, as it was calculated, didn't adequately reflect the gravity of his history, and he ended up giving him a sentence at the top of the range? I really don't see where sending it back under that circumstance, you know, would help at all.
Why would we do
a meaningless act?
I don't know if it's meaningless, and actually I don't know, and it actually might be in some ways more efficient. I don't know if it's meaningless because, like I said, from the record, it's clear that I think that was kind of a cursory examination. He looked at 4 pages of a PSR and sees a lot of things listed. Oh, this guy has a long criminal history, when if you actually look at the details, in the previous 11 years, it was 2 misdemeanors. And I also think it might be more efficient because I think it raises a legitimate question, was there a judicial determination here? And if you at least remand it now and then it turns out the way things is, no, we're going to stay with 57 months, the issue's over. There's no 2255 to re-raise it or anything like that. I don't know if, this question of this kind of delegation of this fact-finding to the U.S. Probation Office that was that this whole process at the district court, where the district court then makes this kind of cursory review and then just goes with it. There's no objection from the defendant, and in some ways that's what's kind of been tangentially attacked by, you know, the recent cases in Booker and Blakely. This kind of not thorough review of the facts that are used in sentencing criminal history categories.
We don't have a Booker issue
no,
here.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm just saying it's the same process. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time for.
Okay. Mr. Dowell.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Mullen Dowdle. I'm an Assistant United States Attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. To address the issue raised in oral argument, this was not a cursory review. Judge Shabazz ensured that Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro had reviewed the pre-sentence report. Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro's counsel had not filed any objections to that pre-sentence report. This case indicated in Brumfield, adoption of a pre-sentence report is appropriate in making factual findings. There was nothing cursory or incorrect about the court's use of the pre-sentence report. There was, as the government has conceded, a mistake made in counting 2 points in Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro's criminal history score. That yields a criminal history category still of 3 with 4 criminal history points. Judge Shabazz clearly indicated in both his sentencing transcript as well as in his statement of reasons that he was sentencing to the high end of the range for Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro's multiple illegal reentries into the United States. There was also a pending felony charge in the state of Minnesota, which Judge Shabazz referenced in the sentencing hearing. And there was ample reason to believe that Judge Shabazz would have sentenced Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro to 57 months, regardless of the criminal history error.
So is it your position, or is it the position of the United States, assuming, of course, you know, that the guidelines remain, in some respects, untouched, that that any errors within the computation of criminal history levels that don't change the overall level, but just keep it at a 3 or keep it at a 6 or keep it wherever it may be, are automatically harmless errors?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. I think this court indicated in Howard, if this court is reasonably confident that the judge would have sentenced the defendant to the same sentence, then it can affirm. In Howard, I think, involved a mistake in which there was actually a higher criminal history category.
Well, that's right. I'm trying to distinguish those. And it seems to me pretty clear that there could be a situation, if it's a higher category, even if they overlap, which I think might have been the fact in Howard, you would need to make that extra inquiry. But I just want to know whether you're arguing for a clear rule of law or whether you're just saying on the facts of this record and given the comments Judge Shabazz made, there's no reason to believe that an internal change, you know, it's a 4 criminal history 3 as opposed to a 6 criminal history 3, in that instance, there might never be reason to send it back.
Yes, Your Honor, I think this is a case-specific determination, that in
okay.
this case, given the nature of the error and the sentencing court's comments and a statement of reasons, that the court would have sentenced Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro to 57 months in this case.
Okay.
Just briefly with regard to the other issues, the downward departure motion, this court has repeatedly said that district court doesn't have jurisdiction to review the district court's denial of the downward departure motion for diminished mental capacity, and that's consistent with Thomas and Newman and Schechter. With regard to the criminal history issues raised on the two other points, this court's decision in Caputo indicates that, in fact, conditional discharge under Illinois law is subject to criminal history score of 1, the condition of probation, as well as Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro's sentence for probation for leaving the scene of an accident. He also appropriately received a criminal history point for that. So at the end of the day, Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro had a criminal history score of 4, criminal history category 3. The district court appropriately sentenced Mr. Zuniga-Lazaro to 57 months, and this court should affirm the district court. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Sure.
I think it comes down to a simple question, is are you confident you can read Judge Tsubasa's mind? Do you know for a fact that if that mistake hadn't been made, he still would have sent Mr. Lozaro to 57 months? And given the fact that we're talking about somebody's liberty, and even if it's 53 months, 52 months, whatever it is, a certain amount of time that somebody may end up staying in prison that they wouldn't have if not for the mistake, I think it's worthy of a remand. Do we know for a fact that Judge Tsubasa would have sentenced him 6-7 months? I don't think, based on the record, we can say that. I think it's legitimate, the fact that when you look at his actual criminal history, that over the prior 10 years, there had only been those two misdemeanors, yet you get this version of this long history of crime. I think that had to be, that view had to be impacted somewhat by the criminal history points being at the high level of Category 3. There has to have some impact on a sentencing judge's mind whether there's 4 points or 6 points, whether it's the low end of Category 3 or the high end, especially when the sentencing judge goes for about three paragraphs talking about not only his illegal reentries, but his other criminal history. And I don't think we can say for a fact we can read his mind, and therefore we ask that the court remands the case. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.